the charade. By the sixth month, they'd stopped speaking to each other. Lunch at the picnic tables, they leaned against the quietude of their sandwiches and the prickly feeling between bites of the rough gray wood against their palms. When it rained, they hunched their backs paleolithically and shuffled to the pen in a thick cloud of stoic purpose. They had a job to do, and no one could understand how dark that task was, their charge orphaned and wanting, the thin forest behind the wildlife center a failed replica of home, and recent budget cuts making a distracted buzz at weekly staff meetings, where they bit their nails too far and couldn't keep their knees from shaking. At home, their spouses noticed a stiff rise in after-dinner exits to the garage, some nameless project trapped between the toothless maw of workbench clamps, the radio tuned to static. No one mentioned counseling. The plans for a summer road trip drifted away. A birthday passed without the usual dinner out. The cub struggled to put weight on, kept biting at his own fur, but through the long plateau, they learned to zip their own backs up, found strange solace in the hot interior air cloistering them each day. By spring, they'd stopped drinking coffee, stopped listening to the news, stopped arguing with their children's pendular moods. Nights, they fell into a deep and dreamless sleep, their shoulders flaccid against the sheets. It wasn't happiness, any more than a bear sinking claws into a flopping salmon is happy. But this brief wildness tethered them to a past or future they couldn't know. And when the animal showed signs of a withering interest in the charade, growing restless from their touch, ears cocked toward some distant, inaudible rustling, they felt freshly anointed, like new parents having guarded the gates of their brittle hatchling, watching the first yawn unfold from tender lungs, the mouth a small, perfect circle, drinking in a breath wide as the earth.